This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Hi, welcome to Living Real Radio. I'm Greg Walton with my co-host John Angotti, and we have a special guest today, Harrison Crenshaw, visiting us from LA.
Yes.
Harrison is a singer, music director, African-American Catholic dude, and wonderful friend, and we're so glad you could be with us. And one of our focuses this month, you know, we'd really love to, it's Black History Month, and we'd love to just learn more about you.
Good.
And your history as well. But welcome to Living Real.
Welcome to Living Real.
Yes. Glad to be here all the way from LA. Wow, wow, wow.
Uh-huh. And Harrison is on a journey, so he's happened to be coming through town. So
right.
Yeah, which is great. So we were able to grab him today and get him on the show.
We have something in common, you know, that we both play God.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Probably too much. yeah.
And in the context of what that means is the musical that actually next week will be performed here at St. Philip. So if you're listening, you can come join us on the 5th or 6th.
Of March.
Of March. That both Harrison, I don't know how many times you've done that show with me. Probably 20?
At least 5.
At least 5.
Yeah.
20.
I mean, I've done it 20. I know we did it. Remember that little tour we did in L.A.?
Yeah, we did.
About 12.
San Jose, and then
we went to San Jose, and then we went to Dallas.
Oh, yeah. And then we were in two other places in L.A., too, in the valley.
Yeah. And all that. So it's, anyway, it's about you today, my friend.
Oh, it's
that's
about
right.
Me.
That's Uh-oh. Right. So, but anyway, so, but
it's not
killer
about,
singer.
It's all about you.
And so you're from St. Louis.
Originally, yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your journey there.
Well, I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and I was raised in a family of artists and performers and actors, but also a great source of faith. Humility through the Baptist tradition. And then that evolved into kind of more of a Pentecostal experience. And then that evolved into the Vineyard Church when I moved out to Los Angeles and more of a non-denominational Christian experience or tradition.
A lot of good music out of Vineyard.
Great music. Great music. Actually, some of that music ended up overlapping when I eventually went into the Catholic tradition and met the community and then eventually became Catholic, yeah, at 18.
Why the change? Why go from... I mean, what were you, you know, you're jumping around.
Well, part of it was my family with relocation. But the other part of it was my faith was evolving. And so I chose to follow what I believe to be the voice of God and evolve with it.
Now, your mother, who I know and love her dearly, is... an amazing singer herself.
Yes. Yes.
Preacher, teacher, wise woman.
Also, didn't she direct the community theater? Did you tell me that or am I?
Oh, yes. She used to have, when I was a kid, which is a lot of where my entertainment or performance or singing experience comes from. She had a playhouse, Liberty Playhouse of St. Louis, and she actually just moved back to restart it again, but it went on for 11 years, and she's a playwright, and she directs, and she acts, and she sings, and she does a lot of things.
Renaissance woman.
Renaissance woman, yeah, and she raised us that way, so yeah. I hope that's in me. I think it's in me.
Now, were you involved musically in the Baptist Church in St. Louis?
I was. Children's choir, you know, kind of started like that and would get a solo here, there. And then it was just always a part of my home. And, you know, we would listen to gospel music every Sunday in the morning and go to church every Sunday. And it was great. It was great. I love it.
What drew you to the Catholic Church?
What drew me there was I was in a religion class one day in high school, and I had an awesome teacher, Mr. Wixon, or Dr. Wixon now, who just really opened my eyes to what the word Catholic meant. And I remember when he first was, you know, well, this is based in the Greek and it means universal. And I was like, oh, so you mean we say I believe in one holy universal church based on followers of Christ? And then he was like, yeah, that's basically what you're saying when you say the creed. And I was like, hey, I'm with that. I of course love the unity part of unity and community part of Catholicism. That was the main thing that drew me.
Was that at St. Monica's?
It was at St. Monica's in Santa Monica. Yeah.
Okay. What took y'all to LA?
Mom moved there. You know, Mom moved there and we moved there shortly after. And it was very funny because I ended up at St. Monica's on a fluke. My mom was getting I have two younger siblings who are both singers as well and musicians. And she was getting them enrolled in school. And she had gotten them enrolled in school like super early. And then I think it was in late August. And she looked up and she was like, oh my God. School starts for you in like 3 days. We need to get you in school. And she was we were having a kind of a difficult time finding the right one. And she stopped and she said, you know what? We're going to pray. I said, okay. And we prayed. And next thing I know, she was like, Harrison, come over here. And she brought me to the computer, and she had seen St. Monica's performing arts program and how involved it was. And they had gone to Rome as a chorus and also recorded a project. And she was like, this is the school you want to be at, because it's like they're doing the things you want to be doing and you want to be learning about. And of course, she saw the value in the Catholic education as well, because she also went to Catholic high school when she was young.
Was it a diocesan? Is it a diocesan?
It is.
It is.
It is, yeah.
It's a great place. How old were you then?
I was 15.
So what year was that?
2003.
And that's when I met you then?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That all happened at the same time. Uh-huh. Oh, Lord. Yeah.
So I've met you in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. Probably, what, the largest religious education conference in the world, mm-hmm. I think, of its type. And it draws people in from all over the world. And you've been singing there since you were 15?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Ed Archer, let's give some props to Ed.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Ed Archer.
Was the director. And so they were involved with the Congress. The choir was. So I don't even know if there was a youth day then.
Yeah.
Was there youth day? Oh, yeah.
Was the first thing I joined or participated in, was youth day.
Yeah, and
That's where it all started.
And what an opportunity for young people, though, to be able to participate in that arena with, you know, 12 or 14,000 other young people right there, and you know.
Well, yeah.
Did that inspire you, being part of that? Did that help inspire?
Well, yeah, because it was seeing other people my age or, you know, other teens my age who believed in the same, you know, we're all believing in God and believing in Christ and worshiping together. And it was cool to be around kind of normal seeming people. And with this strong faith, you just didn't see that. And as often in youth outside of that context. So,
yeah. What have you seen as a Black Catholic that is, like, I find the church, the Black Catholic Church, brings a huge dimension that sometimes I feel the Anglo side misses, you know, with the joy and with the music. I mean, if you've been to Monsignor Ray East Parish and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not
Shout out to Monsignor Reese.
That's right. You know, the music and the preaching and did you ever come up against any kind of adversity?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I always tell this one story where I was at a parish and a parishioner came up to me and, you know, she was really trying to compliment me, but she started with, "Oh, well, yeah, you know, my husband and I are friends with our neighbor and they're black. So my husband just loves gospel music." And I was kind of like, "I know where you're coming from. However, you know, gospel music is not all that I do. And it's actually kind of foreign to the Catholic context. So, you know, you kind of get around that, like little things like that, little, what will probably be called microaggressions, but they're not really, because they're not meant in malice. That, you know, it's meant to try to identify with me so that she can compliment me. And I had to kind of get to that on my own, but things like that happen all the time. Or the more positions of leadership I achieved or received or was blessed with, the more I would see that, obviously, in a more administrative context, where certain people, groups of people, were, you know, can be excluded from the Catholic conversation, from the community conversation. And I definitely witnessed that quite a bit. I think that's why you don't really see a lot of Black Catholics. There are plenty of them. But they are either, you know, quite secluded and kind of kept together, or they're kind of just, you know, sprinkled all around, and it's more of an individual kind of faith walk more than a faith walk with your particular cultural group or ethnic group. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is interesting, because you're in a place that's like, welcome all people. And, you know, I remember when the whole, when George Floyd died and was killed, and, you know, the Catholic Church was a little slow to the response of that. Some churches, I think it happened on an individual level pretty well, but as a concerted effort, it wasn't as strong as I know I would have probably liked or felt was necessary. But I mean, I know that change is, it's a process. And the only thing I can do is be a good example, to others with any other ethnic race, you know, ethnic group I come into contact with, and also just how I carry myself too.
So you've dealt with some assumptions of what the Black experience is, where you've had a very broad musical education, yeah, from your mom, from your community. And,
And I think my mom always pushed that, you know. My mom always was like, you know, you need to ask why, you need to question things, you need to, and it's okay to do so. And then also, you know, I mean, it really comes down to us seeing each other as equals, you know, mm-hmm, as one another.
You think the country's moving in the right direction?
I think they're trying.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that I just think it's hard. It's kind of an uphill battle. You know, a lot of, you know, people have asked me, oh, you know, to be a part of certain celebrations or prayer services or things specifically for, to kind of, like, I guess, cater to the African-American Catholic experience. But that's kind of foreign to me, because, you know, I've been at St. Monica's, that's predominantly white. And basically every parish that I've ever worshiped in has been predominantly white or Latino. So
a more Eurocentric approach,
yes,
to liturgy.
Yeah. So I haven't even really experienced a lot of that. That hasn't been the majority of my experience, but you know, thanks to, really thanks to my mom and thanks to, people I've met at Religious Education Congress, who have, you know, invited me to be a part of, say, what they call is like a revival of Black Catholic churches that actually happens in DC that I was luckily able to be mm-hmm. a part of with the gospel choir from St. Monica's. And, you know, and then you see, oh, okay, there are a lot of Black Catholics and there's 9 churches full of Black Catholics, but in one area. But that's just not what's, that's not the main or the primary expression. And so it does kind of get pushed to the side a lot. It does, you know, because it's very, from my experience, I would describe it as very charismatic. Then it's kind of, you know, it seems like it's pushing the limits or the tradition of the Catholic Church or the Catholic faith, when it's really, you know, if it can be looked at in this way, it's actually kind of become an enhancement, because it does have its foundation in some of the Baptist tradition in terms of its expression. Yeah. You know, you have Catholicism taught me about the communal experience of God, but my history in the Baptist church, or even with my experience in the Catholic church with other Black Catholics, is a combination of that and this personal relationship that you have.
Yeah.
That's one-on-one. And I personally think both are necessary. So
yeah, I think that's kind of new for Catholics to really kind of grasp the personal side, you know.
And now Joseph, he's my fourth child, and his girlfriend Corelle, she's a student at Vandy, and she's from Cameroon, and her family's Catholic, and they had a hard time adjusting in the States. They just didn't really feel like there was a place for them, because just what you were saying, their experience, their expression, you know, was much more open, more charismatic, you know, and that kind of thing. And so they've actually, I think they're going to a different tradition or something, you know, non-denom.
But that's what's happening is people are going away because they can't identify, you know, they can identify with some things, but I'll tell this little short story. The first time our family was going through RCIA, and it was Lent, it was hilarious, because we had already been singing in the choir, my entire family. And here comes Good Friday, and you know, we're doing the veneration of the cross. And right before that was the homily. And, you know, the presider said something. It spoke to my mom's spirit. She said, "Hallelujah!" Before she knew it, I'm the whole church.
Oh, my goodness.
And everybody was like, you know, everybody's, you know, clasping their pearls and all kind of stuff. But it wasn't like, not that, you know, it was. But that's very typical of more of a charismatic experience, where if it feels right to praise God, to acknowledge God, to say, I feel what you're saying. I hear where the spirit
comes. The call and response congregationally
is so big. Yeah. It's so big. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Catholic faith, it's quite structured.
Right.
So then, of course, everybody's looking at her like, but I mean, you know, did she, you know, burn in the flames? No, she that didn't end it.
This is actually maybe a nice transition into one of the songs that we're going to feature, because you sang with your sister Phoebe for RE Congress with the opening reflection, which was around the first reading from the first week of Lent of Noah's Ark. And Dion Clay, right, co-wrote this. Who else was in on this?
Phoebe Crenshaw, my sister, co-wrote with John Flaherty, and worked together with John West as well.
Yeah.
Dion was supposed to be here today, but he couldn't make it.
Yeah. And so what I love about it is we have that Black gospel kind of tradition being woven into this, a very Catholic type of developed thought, you know, and it just shows when everybody's just being true to themselves and their gift of what can happen. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, hey, let's get Dion on the phone before we do this too.
Right?
What'd he say?
Dion,
let's see if he answers.
Hey, bud.
Hey, man, I'm going to put you on the radio here. We're going to feature your song. So we did get Dion Clay on the phone.
Dion, we're going to feature Oh My Lord. And as a co-writer, we wanted to just say hey and see if you have anything to say to us.
Yes, I do have something to say. I want my royalties.
You and everybody else, Dion.
I want my check. Stimulus. My Catholic stimulus check. That's what I want.
That's good. Yeah. So that song that you came up with, I know that you and John Flaherty worked on that. First off,
yes.
Do you have it? Anyway, I wanted to give you some kudos about that song and tell you it's a great song. Anything you want to say about the song?
You know, I do. John and I toyed around with it for about 6 years or so, and doing Congress out there every year. We always talk about it, and finally it came to fruition. And he approached me. I think he reached out to Meredith to get my number or to you or something. And then we started working on it last year. And I mentioned to you, you were the first person that I told about it. And you said, send it to me. Well, I was a little hesitant to send it to you because, you know, I was like, it's you. So I just thought you might laugh and, you know, whatever. But we did it and it came out good. And then here's the kicker. I was told that Harrison and Phoebe were going to be on it. And he's like, asked me to sing on it. I thought, oh, indeed not. No. In fact, our very first Zoom meeting, he asked me to sing it. You remember that, Harrison?
He asked me
to sing it over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
I was so nervous. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And
because Dion's a drummer.
Right.
I'm sorry?
Because you're a drummer.
Yeah, I'm nobody's singer. You know, I'm nobody's singer. I leave that to you. But mm-hmm. I'm just grateful that John decided to ask, or that he solicited my help, and I was just, it was cool. It was cool. Great experience. And working with Harrison and Phoebe in that capacity, it was really a blessing. Kind of a dream come true.
Dion, you know, we were talking with Tom Booth earlier, and he was talking about drummers. You know how a drummer is knocking on your door. He said the beat slows down as it progresses.
Well, you know, everybody's warned about the drummers, you know. Tell all the kids, don't go to school, don't be a drummer, you know. So I'm the exception.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's Oh My Lord. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5, made possible by Closets by Design.
Oh my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh my Lord, 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 Lord. He packed in the animals two by two, the ox, the camel, and the kangaroo. Packed them in the ark so tight, I couldn't get no sleep last night. Noah's son, Shem and Ham, telling about God's master plan. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
40 days and nights on the boat, name us hope in God it float. Noah, his wife, and the boys, they prayed that God would fill the promise made. When the rain had stopped, they looked up.
Of tomorrow rings, mm-hmm. Lift us to our feet and sing. Words of wisdom guide us right, with his glory win the fight. Oh my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh my Lord, 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 Lord.
When trials came, you saw us through. The promise of heaven we'll get to. There's hope when the water's high, feeds our souls and hears our cry.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Mm-hmm.
listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with Greg Walton, and I'm John Angotti. And, you know, Greg, I've always wanted to do the Robin Williams entrance.
Oh, yeah.
The good morning kind of thing, but I never have done that because that's stupid.
Why?
You like that?
Good morning, Catholic people.
Good morning, Nashville.
Good morning. Every morning you wake up and the Lord has given you breath.
Well, it is a good morning to get up and breathe.
Hey,
you know? I always say, Lord,
not.
Everything is perfect right now, Lord, but I'm just about ready to get out of bed. So things might just change.
Yeah, come step on up.
That's right. Instantaneously. But we're here with Harrison Crenshaw. We just listened to
Oh My Lord.
Oh My Lord.
Oh My Lord. He forgot the title.
Oh, I mean, My Lord. Yeah, that's funny. Oh My Lord. Yeah. Which Dion Clay and Harrison Crenshaw, and Phoebe Crenshaw, and John Flaherty. Anyway, your last name, Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Black History Month. Where does Crenshaw, do you know your history?
Do I know my history? I know that at some point, some person who had some money and owned my ancestors had the name Crenshaw at some point.
Yeah.
That was passed on. And that has its sad side to it. But it also has its good side because for me, my last name stands for, you know, my father and my family, and it stands for loyalty and honesty and faith and humility and hard work. So that's what it means for me now.
As an African, no, is your family from Africa?
Yes.
Do you have those roots? You don't have those kind of roots.
We do. Luckily, my one side of my family actually has a genealogy committee. And so they are constantly looking and researching for our ancestors to go back as far as we can. We've kind of gotten back to, I think, 4 out of the 5 original family that we descend from, which is almost, I think, only maybe one generation removed, maybe not even that much from Africa, specifically from Africa.
Yeah. I just think the history, the Black history, is something we all need to be awake and aware of, you know, so that we can realize where we came from.
Yeah.
What we did, how it happened, and never go back there again.
And never go back. Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I hear folks say, you know, like 4th of July, that's not my holiday.
Yeah.
What do you think of that kind of comment?
I think that I understand it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a part of any group where you feel like you get the short end of the stick in that group, or you get, or you, you know, abused or killed, you know, all kinds of things, then yeah, I mean, I can understand that. But I think going forward from that is the only way to change it and to grow from it and to grieve, you know, that grieving period does need to happen. But if you can't, I don't believe in staying there. You know, it's a grief in itself is a process so that you get through it, not so you stay in it.
Yeah.
So I can't stay there in the past, but I can remember it. So like you said, I don't repeat it. And the way I look at things is more informed. You know, the way I look at, you know, an African American becoming Catholic and choosing that as a convert, I can, you know, I can have someone look at that and say, oh, okay, you know, I can be that too. I don't have to stay in, oh, look at all the horrible stuff that the Catholic Church has done historically of people. It's like, okay, well, that's true.
Yep.
But we're hopefully not the same people we were.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully God and life and each other have taught each other better. If people knew that quite a few of the saints that we venerate are Black, they come from Africa. Saint Monica of Hippo came from Africa. Her son Saint Augustine from Africa. There's a bunch of saints from Africa, and actually, that was one of the blessings of this recent Congress was that the church is actually starting to recognize some more saints of African descent, or you know, or African American descent.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a step, you know, and everybody is not going to be all, you know, on board with that. And that's going to be its own journey. But, you know, you leave the 99 and you get the one and then you keep going. So,
yeah,
it'll happen eventually.
in this past year, you know, we've seen a lot of stupidness or ignorance, should I say, or our ignorance kind of came out. White supremacy groups. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's amazing to me that those groups still are around.
I don't think they suddenly appeared, but the rhetoric we were getting.
What's that?
The rhetoric we were getting from leadership.
Yeah.
It was telling them it was okay to step out and act out.
Yeah. And it's not. I mean, you know, it's.
Is it not? Or is it good?
Well, at least the Bible says,
I wish you were hot or cold. And if you are lukewarm, I spit you out. So. To a degree, it is a good thing for you to come as you are. It's just you can't stay where you are. That's the thing that nobody wants to. No, they want to stay there and it's comfortable and they're used to it. And just like, you know, just like the church, you know, it has its structure, it has its tradition, and it's safe. It's known. There's nothing unknown about it. We've studied and researched it to the nth degree. We got 4,000 or 5,000 books to talk about it and everything is, you know, but like people don't know that you're supposed to study other religions, that's written in the catechism. They don't know that. Nobody knows because but I knew that because I had a teacher in high school that told me that, but that's what brought me to Catholicism. Mm-hmm. That might deter someone else because it's new and foreign and they might be afraid of trying to navigate that and latching onto the wrong truth or a truth that's not good for them or not good for how they want to express their faith, all kinds of things. So I understand the apprehension because human beings are, you know, change is hard for us all. But if we don't change and we don't grow, and my mom always says, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying. There's no really in between.
Yeah.
You know, plant life, things that are made from creation, they are either growing to something or they're dying. That's the only thing they're doing. So it's like, what do you want to do? And when you die, it doesn't necessarily mean the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is in people that makes us sometimes?
Or that part of you dies.
Yeah.
That understanding dies.
Yes. There you go.
The lack of understanding dies.
Yeah. 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 That opens up a bigger vision.
Heck yeah.
You know. But I forget where I just was saying. Squirrel moment.
It's okay. I interrupted you.
I was looking at you because I was like, I wonder how do people get to a point in their head where it's okay, where they can make these differences, where you can separate that this one does not belong when we're all part of the same Earth, we're all part of the same humanity. I mean, that to me, it doesn't comprehend to divide, you know, race.
Correct.
I can't.
It's kind of counterintuitive.
Well, I can't comprehend it. So I don't understand how people can get to that point where they.
I don't think they got to that point. I think they grew out of that point. You know, I mean, it reminds me, you know, when I was doing some lessons on Black history, and I had a couple students, and I think they might have gone home and talked to their folks about, you know, what I was talking about in class. And they came back and they said, "Hey, Mr. Walton, when is J.E.R. Day?" I said, "J.E.R. Day? Yeah, yeah. Oh, what? Well, we mean Martin Luther King, but our parents calls it J.E.R. Day because that's James Earl Ray, the guy who shot him."
Oh, wow.
So there's a climate of rhetoric. And I think when we, and this is also, you know, a rural poor family too. So they have their own struggles, their own issues, and they pick their own blame game about it.
Yeah.
And the reason that it's their situation is what it is.
Yeah.
And they still, you know, they haven't moved past it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They haven't moved past it. I mean, I was at a parish, you know, and I had a priest that hadn't moved from that, you know, and was 70 some years old. So it can stay in there. It does stay in there when you're young, and it does grow and fester if you don't address it or encounter it through life. And, you know, unfortunately with that particular parish, you know, we weren't able to express our solidarity with, you know, all the victims of police brutality and violence during the time of George Floyd, because of that, you know, or prioritizing other things over that, you know, looking bad as a church or looking like you're siding with something that's secular. I think I like the way that the Archdiocese of Los Angeles talked about it, where it was, you know, a sin, that, you know, their racism is a sin. And I think even their prompt for the parishes in LA was, you know, to have this prayer, you know, help us overcome that. Because it is a way of thinking that materializes in obviously very heinous ways. So, it's necessary. And I think, you know, we kind of do that to ourselves because we come to church on Sunday and then we, you know, and then we go back to our real life. And then that those two things, no one's seeing how much that's merging. You're learning how to do the life thing when you're here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or how to better do your life thing when you're here. And then what does it say? Go and serve the Lord with your lives.
Right.
I was like, well, then, and then that's the, okay, we talked the talk, we had the conversation in mass back and forth, and now it's time to walk the walk, you know, and that's hard if everything you're hearing from that other part of the world is, you know, direction on focusing on the wrong person in history, or not even focusing on the wrong person, but an incomplete picture. And then, you know, then teaching that, and then that's going from generation to generation. And, you know, we don't like to things to look different. We, you know, the Catholic Church has been the Catholic Church for quite a while, and it hasn't gone through a ton of changes. It's gone through changes, you know, but it hasn't gone through a lot of changes. So seeing, say, a Black Catholic have that conversation the way they have that conversation in the midst of people who have their conversation one kind of way, immediately it's like, hey, you're the different thing. You're the different one. And why is that? And then they're wondering, I think mostly, is that okay? You know, more than anything, because maybe they actually feel that. You know, when my mom said hallelujah, I'm sure everybody else felt like, yeah, I felt it, you know, but I just was in a different place than she was, you know, in her expression. Her expression is out and extroverted. Yeah. And I think that we need it.
We're all a bit rough around the edges.
We're all a little bit rough. Yeah.
Which leads into this next song tell us about the song Rough.
Well, the song Rough is just about, you know, how our relationship with God as human beings. And I wrote it trying to write from God's perspective, because we were, you know, we're in times that are uncertain, and we're in times where we ask the question, why? And why is this happening? And why are all these people dying? And why I gotta stay home? And why I gotta wear a mask? And yeah, why? And it's like, well, maybe you're asking the wrong question.
Well, you know, it doesn't make sense.
It don't jive.
Unjust suffering.
Then it's a die. So it's not like I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But even in that, we're referencing John's play Job, but even in Job,
right,
you know, he doesn't stay there. And you hear the story of Job. If Job stayed in, oh my God, woe is me, I lost all my kids, and oh, woe is me, I lost my how would he have gotten to the end?
Yeah.
How would he have gotten to, I get it all back? How does he get there? He can't. I mean, you know, and that we know that that's an addition to the translation, but
right,
you know,
he really didn't get it all back.
He doesn't get it all back. Right. He just accepts it.
Right.
Sometimes, he goes through the grief process, which includes his faith, and gets to acceptance, and then keeps going.
Yeah.
He just never the same after that.
Right.
He's not the same Job he was when you first met him. He had everything.
God protects us from nothing and sustains us through everything.
Through everything. So it's just, you know, we're the ones. We're the ones that are rough with God. We're rough with God when we destroy creation and we act like we don't know that we need trees to breathe. We destroy God when we don't take care of ourselves so that we can help others. We are rough with God when we curse the things that happen to us and curse our life instead of seeing the gratitude and the grace and the mercy that is actually there, or the signs that he's actually trying to show, or it is trying to show us, so that we can get through whatever we're going through. We're too busy looking at ourselves or looking at our sadness, or, you know, so it's that it's just about, that conversation, very frank, but also filled with reminders of what God tells us or reminds us of in those moments, reminds us about love, you know, and reminds us that there's a gentler way, there's a kinder way, there's a more prudent way, there's a more faithful way, a more humble way. So that's what it's about. It's about that conversation and God just being like, hey, you... Right. You did it to yourselves, but I'm here. I didn't go nowhere. I'm just, you know, hey, you got to be looking out for me. Nice. Can't be so rough.
Here's Rough by Harrison Crenshaw. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5.
You know you're so rough with your love for me. You think you're so tough, but it ain't a thing to me, 'cause when you hit me up, I just can't get enough. Tonight is the night for us, so baby, get rough with me.
Baby, can you tell me what's so wrong? Tell me why you start this fight, then you tell me
you're gone.
Scared that I'm gonna be a scared to be it through. I've had enough, I ain't giving up
as long as I'm with you, 'cause I can't take it too. As you're dishing out, don't try to fight it through. Ain't no turning around. Gloves off, folks, cool, that's what I'm talking about.
Until we sure let this burn down.
You know you're so
turn
around. Oh, no. Gloves off, folks. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Christians ever gives up, never gives up the fight. It's the way, it's the truth, it's the life, you know.
Listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with Jenna Angotti and myself, Greg Walton, and we're here with Harrison Crenshaw. We just listened to his song, Rough, and just talking about how things can get messy.
Things can get messy. The best thing I was ever told by a mentor is church is messy.
Yeah.
You know, because it's people and people aren't perfect. And we're striving not for perfection, but we're striving for a better version of ourselves.
Yeah.
Continually every day, hopefully every moment.
Yeah. As we continue to, well, this is the close of Black History Month. Or at least mm-hmm. the acknowledgement of it. It's, you know, we're always
right.
aware.
Yeah, this, today is the last.
Yeah, the 28th, right?
Yeah.
And last Sunday, Harrison sang at Mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, but what you brought to our parish, you know, to St. Philip, I thought was a breath of fresh air, you know, with the way you canter and sing and, you know, hit those high notes. Uh-huh. And one time I remember you told me, you said, the way you get the high notes, you got to pull it out of the top of your head. You remember saying that?
Yes.
Yeah. You pull it out of the top of your
head. Pull it out of your top of your head?
Yeah. Well, give us a high note right here, what we're doing. Come on. Give us a little scream.
You're so silly.
Uh-huh.
So silly.
See, well, I can't do that, you know.
You can. You know why?
Why?
Because you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you.
Oh. There is Baptist coming out of
it. See, there's... Okay, now see. Now, I'll tell you the best thing that ever came from me growing a Baptist is I know the Bible more than most Catholics I've ever met.
Yeah.
But that's... You know, that's indicative of their tradition. They have Bible study all the time.
But Catholics know the Bible. They just don't know they know the Bible.
Yeah, they don't know they know.
Because if they come to Mass, they really hear the Bible in a 3-year cycle.
Yeah. Like, but you're still not hearing all of it.
I hear most of it. In a 3-year cycle.
No, that's true.
You hear quite a bit of it, for sure.
I remember, you know, watching, what was the, it's not the greatest story ever told, but Jesus of Nazareth, right? The big miniseries. And my dad would, you know, my dad just went to church once a week. He didn't go to seminary or whatever, but every line that Jesus spoke, he would say it out loud in unison with him. He knew, you know, probably couldn't tell you what book it was or what chapter, right. or what mm-hmm. verse.
Yeah.
Everybody sees themselves in the man we call Jesus. We see our struggle, we see our redemption, we see our need for solitude, or we see our need to do something that other people don't agree with, all kinds of things. So, you know, that we learned from that, And, you know, one of the best things my mom ever did was sit me in, I was in trouble. I can tell this story because it's my own fault. but I was quite the, aggressive kid when I was in elementary school, and, I did get in trouble. I'm not a perfect child. But one of my mom's punishments was I would come home every day and I would sit in the living room behind a chair, and she would make me read Proverbs and Psalms until she got home. It would be like hours, hours of time. And then she would come home and she would ask me what I read and how I understood it and, you know, what I was going to read the next day. So you never really forget after that what it says in there. Proverbs and Psalms and Gospels.
There's some good words on handling anger and stuff like that. See? In Proverbs, yeah.
My mom knew she was doing.
Your mama knows. Mm-hmm. We should have called her on the phone.
Right.
Yeah, she'd give us. She got some good stuff.
Yeah,
she wrote a book. Your mother wrote a book.
She did. She did. It's a little controversial, but if you can ride through it, you'll get the point. You know, which is that we need to grow and we need to change, and that's normal, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can people get your music? Where can they find Harrison
Cole? You can find my music on any streaming, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. If you're looking for the song you heard today, you want to check out Spotify and under the name Anu, A-N-U, which was inspired by, you know, our need to as a human race, but to look at things anew so that we can heal and grow and evolve. But it came from my own experience, faith journey with God, about my own need in certain areas of my life to change and evolve and grow.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Anew.
So, yeah. So we become anew where two or three are gathered.
All that matters is that we be created anew.
That's it. Every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Every day. So we're going to close with your song, All Right.
Yes.
Which is a song about?
It's a song about actually the scripture of where two or more are gathered and how connected we all are and how we can actually help each other if we let each other help each other grow and evolve and become anew.
Okay. Well, thank you for this. Greg, we have a lot of things coming this week.
We do. Yeah, so we're having our parish mission at St. Philip, and you can get info on that at stphilipfranklin.com. If you'd like to hear more from St. Philip, you can text STPhilTN to 84576. So
is that new?
No, that's always been. It's always been.
I need to text that so I can get me some info. Anyway, we'll hope you join us this week, Monday night, with talk with Father Bolster on St. Joseph. Tuesday night, Taizé prayer. Wednesday, praise and worship. Thursday's healing mass with Father Bala. And then Friday and Saturday, the production of Job right here.
Yes.
So
Job.
We'll hope you all will join us. And we hope that Harrison, good luck on the journey.
Thank you.
And God bless. And you're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5. Go out and smile at somebody. Here is All Right.
That beat inside of you, feel the heat, the fire that burns the night between us two. Get into the rhythm, get into this melody, forget the words and let it take you over. You know what to do.
DJ, won't you play my song? Gonna play it all night long, rock until the break of dawn.
Are you with me?
'Cause when they turn down the lights, I just wanna hold you tight, baby,
'cause
it feels so right.
When you're with me, I make them say,
all right.
Baby, we don't need the money or a diamond ring.
All right.
Baby, if we got each other, we got everything.
All right.
Baby, we don't need the calls or the finer things.
All right.
Baby, if we got each other, we got everything.
Whoa, oh, oh, whoa, whoa.
Baby, if we got each other, we got everything.
Whoa, oh.
life to live. Know the times you try to cry, trying to fit in, but it ain't worth it.
No, it ain't worth it.
If you lose a soul within, so come to me, come and see what you've been missing. Yeah.
DJ, won't you play my song?
Yeah.
Listening to Living Real Radio, real issues in real time, with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.